We're going to continue on what we started 2 weeks ago. And then next Sunday, we have an annual meeting again, our second annual meeting, where we're going to give you the big picture of what happened last year, just in big, broad strokes, and then going to talk about kind of next steps and God's vision that he has for us, what we have sensed God's vision to be. For today, we're going to talk about heavy lifting, forgiving from the heart. I've got to be honest, I believe that one of the most prevalent problems in the church today is not forgiving each other, holding on to things. It is so huge, it's rampant. And we're going to talk about heavy lifting, forgiving from the heart. That's a biblical concept, forgiving from the heart. And at BAC, we strive to be, I changed the slide a little bit, walking in intimacy with God, and yet we want to love, grow, give, and go. But we want to be walking in intimacy with God. I believe that the Lord wants us to be known as a church of as individuals who walk in intimacy with God. They literally can see Christ in our lives every day. And then we want to invite others to do the same, to walk in intimacy with God. A key intimacy buster, I've already said about this, I tried to find the most graphic color I could. I tried to put this thing in psychedelic and I didn't know how to do it. But I believe a key killer of intimacy. Some people have come to me and said, I don't hear his voice regularly. I don't sense the Lord's presence regularly. I can promise you that one of the things that will kill intimacy is if you're harboring bitterness in your heart and life. If there's anyone that you have not forgiven from the heart, it's going to stop that. You know, even Peter says in 1 Peter 3, it says between husbands and wives, if you have tension between you, if there's unforgiveness between you, your prayers aren't going to be heard. You're not going to hear him. Now, forgiveness may not be an issue, but it might be an issue in your heart, and we're going to look at that today. Forgiving others, it is a gift actually to yourself. Forgiving someone else is really a gift that you're giving to yourself. It's that important. It's that critical. Forgiving others, it's Christ-like. It's what Jesus did. Forgiving others, it's what Jesus did. Forgiving can be very, very difficult challenge. You guys have heard me say it many times, the Christ life is not hard. It is impossible. If you've been deeply, deeply wounded, I believe it's impossible in our own strength to forgive others from the heart, especially forgiving others from the heart. And anything that's in green means that I actually added that either yesterday late or early this morning as I was going through it and trying to make it clearer and clearer. So the green stuff is kind of new. Now, where do we get forgiving from the heart? Where's that passage? It's Matthew 18, 23 through 35. And let me just remind you, I'm sure you all know the story. It's where Jesus told the parable. Actually, it begins with the disciples asking Jesus, Matthew 18, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who here wants to be great in the kingdom of heaven? Raise your hand. Amen. So do I. So disciples said, who's going to be great in the kingdom of heaven? And you know who Jesus did? He started talking about children and aspects of children. And I believe one of the aspects of children, and then eventually just walks through the chapter and gets to forgiveness. I am amazed at how often my children have forgiven me. In fact, whenever I've come to them and said, you know, Daddy was so wrong. I was so wrong. Please forgive me. I corrected you in anger. Please forgive me. Whatever it was. I am amazed at how quickly children can forgive. It's an amazing thing. I've always been amazed. To my knowledge, my kids have never not forgiven me almost instantly. I'm amazed by it. Jesus used children as an example. And then the story goes, and let me just tell a little bit more of it. Remember, he went into this whole parable. This guy owed millions of dollars. And he went to the king and said, please forgive me, please forgive me. And what did the king do? He forgave him everything. Then this same guy goes out and finds somebody that owes him a couple hundred bucks. And he says the same thing, please forgive me, please forgive me. And he says, You go to jail until you pay me everything. Now, I don't even know how that works. How do you go to jail, make money, and pay it off? But anyway, you go to jail, throws him in jail. Then the other servants heard about it. They told the king. The king called the guy back in and said, hey, what did I do for you? Why didn't you do that for this person? And then Jesus, toward the end of this passage in verse 35, he literally says, your heavenly Father will not forgive you unless you forgive others from the heart. Now, I've told you before, I don't know where that leaves us. I honestly don't know. But can we all agree that it's not good? It is not good to be there. And so forgiveness and forgiving from the heart, and what I'm going to share with you today, I'm going to talk about it in a minute, is this is what I have sensed the Lord leading me to do. Okay? This whole message is about what I have sensed the Lord leading me to do with reference to forgiveness. And I have scripture verses to back it up. The first thing is, there are different degrees of wrongs. You know, there are mosquito bites and there are snake bites. They're not the same. There's different degrees of wrongs that happen to us. It's important. In the SDI, which is Strength, Deployment, Inventory, they talk about it this way: frequency, duration, intensity or magnitude, and context. You know, some offenses, the frequency, how often it happens, the duration, how long this person keeps on my last nerve, you know, the intensity, the magnitude of it, or the context of it. You know, it varies. So there's different magnitudes, there's different degrees. FDIC. Everyone knows what FDIC means, right? Well, we're reinterpreting it so you can remember it. FDIC. Frequency, duration, intensity, and context. All of those things are things to look at. I'm just going to use one as an example. If we're looking about intensity or magnitude, there are cup sizes offenses. There's gallon size offenses. There's 55-gallon size offenses, right? Are you with me? Just nod your head. Even if you're not, nod your head. It'll make me feel better. Today, we're going to look at the major wrongs in our life, major, major wounds that we've received. That's what we're going to talk about. And again, this is descriptive. The following was what the Holy Spirit's led me to do personally. And I hope it can just be helpful to you. It's based on scripture, but it's what he's led me to do. He may lead you to do something slightly different, but this is how he has led me. The Holy Spirit can empower us to forgive from the heart. Just to start off, I don't think we can do anything apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You can do it for a little while, but I don't think we can do anything apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And Jesus said he's going to send us the Holy Spirit so that we can do what he has been doing. He's going to send us the Holy Spirit that we can do even more than what he did. I don't believe we're capable of doing anything for the kingdom. Now, who here can sin without the power of the Holy Spirit? Everyone, please raise your hand. Everyone. Man, if you're not raising your hand, you're a liar. Because we all are good at sinning. We're all good at selfishness. We're all good at that. But of kingdom work, we need the Holy Spirit to empower us to do it. The first thing the Lord leads me to do is be brutally honest with yourself. FDIC it. Be brutally honest. And just to take one of the intensities, I have three errors with me here. Now, arrows might not mean anything to you. I like bows and arrows. I like that kind of thing. This was a gift to me from someone in the church. Now, this arrow actually has the gospel on it. It has the black, the red, the white, the blue, the gold, green, and gold. It's the salvation story. Now, some people with good intent will wound me. They have good intent. They want to help me, but they're wounding me. Now, do not raise your hand. Does anyone have people in your lives that with good intent they still wound you? Don't raise your hand, but okay. So, good intent. Then there's other people out there. I've got another arrow here. It's got a field point on it. They just kind of take pot shots at you to see what you're going to do. None of you have any of those kind of people in your life, right? You just take pot shots, see what you're going to do, okay? And then this baby has taken out quite a few deer. It doesn't look like much, but this baby has. She's a bear. I don't know what they call it, but it's a bear. And here's who uses it. You got some bear of a person, and they really want to cause harm, and they shoot you, and it causes harm. Amen? So, what kind of wound have you got? And I meet people all the time, I'm not wounded. And then they go shake your hand and something touches this and they overreact. Are you with me? I'm not wounded. Nothing's wrong with me. I mean, they're not just walking around with one of these, man. They're walking around with multiple of them. They're all over the place. I can't do it all. They're all over the place. I'm not wounded. I'm okay. There's nothing in my life. I'm fine. And they're sticking out all over the place. And everywhere they go, they bump into someone or something. Are you with me? Let me use a different illustration. The other day, I was moving stuff around in my garage. There's like no room in my garage. I have so much junk in my garage. Those who have helped move in, you can attest to it. So I had some wood sitting in the corner. And I didn't put gloves on. I am so wimpy anymore. I don't have any calluses, so I'm allergic to real work. But I go over and I grab some wood, okay? I need to move it to get something else out. So I grab this wood and, what was that? I looked, I couldn't see anything. Did stuff the rest of the day. It was okay. The next day I got to put my glove on. Oh. Took it off, couldn't see a thing. What did I have? Came up here to the church, started doing stuff. And didn't notice, and then I tried to do something. Nothing's wrong. Put my hand in my pocket. Oh! Are you with me? I left here, I went to Walmart, I bought a razor blade and a new pair of tweezers, and I went to the house, and I got my magnifying glass out, and what I started doing? I started digging and cutting. Until I got that rascal out. Now, was it fun digging and cutting? And some of you are saying, gee, you should call me pastor. I'd have helped you out with that. I'd have dug on that rascal for you. Finally, I got it out. And then I put it on the microscope to look at it. To make sure what? I got the whole thing. Now, I've had some that have gone under my fingernails. Don't you just love those rascals? And that's when I get the prid out. You know what prid is? That orange can, and you put it on there, put a Band-Aid on. Then 2 or 3 days later, it'll help bring that baby out or make it so that you can get the baby out. So, these offenses, these wounds, is it a cup size? Is it a gallon size? Is it 55 gallons? Different wounds require different action. You know, I had to go and get something to dig into this thing. It was tiny, it was small, but did it hurt I could do this, nothing. I do this, ouch. Are you with me? And then there's this continuum, where are you? You know, some of us are Chicken Little. And everything is big. And others of us man up. And others of us, we got 3 of these things or more sticking out of us. I'm fine. I'm okay. Nothing wrong here, man. I'm all right. It's important to understand where we are on the spectrum. And many times we can't see it ourselves. And a loving friend can help us know where we are on the spectrum. And what the Lord tells me, what he begins to do with me is acknowledge the wound. And I do it privately. Acknowledge the wound. I could pretend that splinter wasn't there. I could pretend the air is not sticking out of my heart. You can pretend all you want. It doesn't change it. You have got to acknowledge it. And so many people, and here's what we typically do, and I'm just saying for years of pastoring, someone hurts someone, and so they say, oh, I forgive you. You're forgiven. And in all honesty, they're still walking around like this. Oh, you're forgiven. It's all okay. No big deal. No blood, no foul. Anyone say that? That's one of mine, no blood, no foul. And here I am with an arrow sticking through me, no blood, no foul. It's all right, dude. It's all right. Is it all right? And then you wonder why you're still having difficulty. You're wondering why your relationship has difficulty. You have to acknowledge the wound. What size is the wound? What kind of error was it? Was it unintentional? Was it intentional? Let's be honest. Some people are just toxic. Are they not? They don't even know they are. It's like they have bad breath and they don't even know it. I did brush my teeth and I took some stuff. They have bad breath and they don't even know it. And they come talk to you and you back up and they get closer and you back up and they get closer. It's kind of like that. You have got to acknowledge the wound. You must. Because God can't heal what we won't acknowledge. And how do we know how to acknowledge it? The Holy Spirit reveals it to us. Or a friend speaks to us. And you ask, Holy Spirit, is that the truth? And it may only be partially true, but yes, Holy Spirit, please reveal this to me. John Eldridge, that's why I actually use arrows, he calls them arrows of the enemy. So I ask the Holy Spirit to identify the arrow. And when I do that, I mean, okay, Holy Spirit, I know I've been wounded. Please help me understand this arrow. And little, I pray, Holy Spirit, show me the arrow. Pull whatever arrow you want out of my heart and show it to me. Help me to understand the arrow. Help me to FDIC this arrow. Not to hold it against someone. And by the way, she didn't do anything to me. Not to hold it against anyone, but to fully understand it. Because if it is a gallon-sized wound, I need to deal with the gallon-sized wound. And not just say, it's okay, it's all right. To, by yourself, with the Holy Spirit, acknowledge, this is a deep wound. This really hurts. Are you with me? So, Holy Spirit, show me the arrow, because I understand arrows. I understand archery. I think I do anyway. Show me this arrow, how long it is, how big the broadhead is, how much it hurt, how unfair it was, on and on. Tell me everything about this wound. Tell me everything, Holy Spirit. Then I journal. I hate journaling. I despise journaling. But if I've been wounded by someone, I journal. I write it all out. I write everything about this wound. I FDIC the wound, how frequent it is, the duration, the intensity, the context. One time I went into a church that was having difficulty and they were in the midst of a church split. And the worship leader, not this worship leader, the worship leader gets up and says, do yuns, it wasn't in this district, do yuns know what's wrong with this church? The worship leader did. Well, he's right here and he's sitting right here. And the real problem of this church, his name is Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Norris. From, I couldn't believe it. Visitors, all kinds of people in the church just says that. I'd never even met the person before. I was hardly at the church. And afterwards, she said, Holy Spirit told me. So hers was this arrow. She thought that she was doing the Lord's will. I said, have you ever read Matthew 18? I don't know, but the Lord told me to do that. Well, let me read Matthew 18 to you. First, go to your brother. Did you come to me? Well, no, but the Holy Spirit told me. I got to tell you, you know what the Holy Spirit's telling me right now? You're done being a worship leader. Done now. Now, I'm not angry because as soon as you did this, I started praying and I forgave you already. I already forgave you. But I want you to go home today and you read Matthew 18 and you do what the Holy Spirit says. And by the end of that day, she called me and said, I was so wrong. Please forgive me. I said, praise the Lord. You can lead worship again. And I talked to her more to make sure that's not why she didn't just do it. I journal. I write it down to get it outside of myself and to see it. Here's another thing. We're in coal country, right? One of the authors that I read about this, they called it mining. I don't even know if that's a real word or not. But do you know what I mean? Mining. You know, when I went after that splinter, I got a little razor blade and I had to cut into that rascal. Oh, was that fun. It was in my right hand, so I'd do that left-handed. My left hand is not the most coordinated thing. I was wishing that this thing was in my left hand so I could be using my right hand. Mine it, not to use it against the person. But if you tend to be Rambo-like, and you're, hey, it's okay, and you got this wound sticking out, you need to ask the Holy Spirit, please reveal the wound. Show me every aspect. Mine it to its full extent. Not to hold it against the person, but then what you can do, what I'm saying is do the FDIC, the frequency of it, the duration of it, the intensity of it, the magnitude, the context. I mean, that context is that worship leader in front of everyone, the whole congregation. And then I was to preach that morning. I got up and I said, well, most of you don't even know who I am, but I'm the person she just said is the problem. So you just met the problem. He's right here. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come right now. And then I'm going to preach on Matthew 18. And no, I did not use her as an example. But boy, was she a good example of not following Matthew 18. What you want to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal, how this wound was wrong, how unfair it was, how painful it was, how public, how repetitive, how deeply personal it was. You just ask the Holy Spirit, reveal this. He will show you from many different venues. He will turn that arrow around and show you so many different things. Not to hold it against the person, but you mine it so that you can completely, completely forgive the person. Does it make sense? Because if I've got a gallon wound and I just quickly pray, oh Lord, forgive them, I've offered a cup of forgiveness and I've still got this huge gaping wound. And if it stays there, what happens to a splinter that you don't take care of? What usually happens? It gets infected. It gets even sorer. And then every time you bump into something, it hurts even more. And then when you got to go digging around, it hurts even more. Amen? You see, a cup-sized wound, you need to offer a cup of forgiveness. A gallon size, that should be wound. A gallon size wood. A gallon of forgiveness. Obviously, not enough people reviewed this rascal. Journaling. I journal it after I do the FDIC. I journal it after I do the FDIC. Then after journaling, or as a part of journaling, the first thing I do is turn it into a prayer of forgiveness. Now, why did I say privately? Do you know what you did to me? Do you know what? No, 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 no. You're digging all, you're mining all this not to go to the person. You're mining all this so that you can completely forgive from the heart. And then I write out a prayer that corresponds to the degree of the wound. It might be two sentences. It might be two pages, depending on the wound. The second thing I do is I ask the Father to forgive the person corresponding to the degree of the wound. Now, you might think this isn't anything, but I'm telling you, this is critical. This is critical. The biblical reference is Luke 23. Here's Jesus. We all heard Jesus say this. We've all read this. What did Jesus say on the cross while he's being crucified? What did he say? Father, forgive them. There's something to this. I can promise you there's something to this. Not long ago, I was in a meeting where this person, they had actually asked forgiveness. And I'll tell just a little bit more. No names, no nothing. This is a while ago. And it was a deliverance session. And it was obvious that there was some unforgiveness. And the person had forgiven the person. And the demon inside the person was still kind of pretty strong and pretty active. And so we talked about asking the Father to forgive the person. And then I led in prayer. And literally the person said, when we started praying, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive that person. The person said this demon inside just kind of withered away to nothing. And then was cast out. See, there's something to this. There's something powerfully to this. And then the final thing is I ask Abba, Father, to bless the person and his or her family. What is Romans 12? Green says, I didn't have this in, but I thought it would help you out. Romans 12, 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, in my younger days, there's other passages. It says that if you do this, you'll heap burning coals on their head. So my motive was, man, I'm going to forgive you like crazy, dude, because you know what? Are you with me? It's the motive. No, I want you to sincerely bless this person, not the burning coals on their head. And there's some theologians that say that was a kind of a euphemism. I don't know what the term is, but people that their fires went out and in their hat, they would put coals up in there. You know, so they go to their house and relight their stove again because they didn't have matches, they didn't have Zippos, they didn't have that kind of stuff. So actually, by blessing them, you were helping them to light their fire again. They could be warm and they could cook and provide. I kind of like the one burning coals just on your head, man. Oh, well. Hopefully I'm beyond that. Let's take a closer look at what Jesus said. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they believe. I believe this passage teaches at least three things. There's probably lots more. But number one thing it teaches, Jesus forgave the people while they were still crucifying him. Can you imagine that? There's probably a ton of truths here, but there's at least three. And what's the first one that comes to my mind? They're literally crucifying him, spitting on him, killing him, and Jesus from the heart forgives them. I don't know about you, but when someone's picking on me, I have a hard time. You're forgiven. The Lord bless you. I have a real hard time. In fact, I don't think it's humanly possible. I think only the Holy Spirit can do that, but he can. The first thing Jesus did was, and by the way, was Jesus baptized with Holy Spirit? He was. Why was the Son of God baptized with the Holy Spirit? To role model that we must be baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. We must. If we want to live the victorious Christian life. Second thing is, clearly, Jesus asked Abba, Father, to forgive them. For they don't know what they're doing. They thought they knew what they were doing, but they didn't know what they were doing. And here's why. You are Abba's prince or princess. The father, Abba, has parental emotions too. Think about this, the parents that are here. Do you ever get angry at one of your kids that's being mean to another kid? Come on, nod your head or I'm all wet. Of course you do. One's being cruel to another and you get angry. The father was angry at what they were doing to Jesus. And so Jesus asked, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. I don't understand how all that plays out, but I believe that the Father is a Father. And Jesus said, and just saying, if it's good enough for Jesus, if it's good enough for Jesus. Third, the third truth, and I'm sure there's many, many, many more. Third, please, please, please remember, forgiving is not dependent on the offender asking for forgiveness. Forgiving others is not dependent on them asking for it. They were still crucifying him, and Jesus forgave. They were still crucifying. Jesus did not wait for an apology. The truth is, you may never receive an apology. You may never receive an apology. You know, that young lady that shot me with this arrow that Sunday morning, she was convinced that she was doing the right thing. She was absolutely convinced until she got in her closet with the Lord and the Lord spoke to her through Matthew 18. She was convinced that she was obeying the Lord. Are you ever convinced that you're obeying the Lord and then you discover, oops, I misunderstood that one, got that one wrong? Now, here's my personally. You see, if I don't forgive you, that gives you power over me. Because you're in my thoughts. And I want to heap burning coals on your head. Now, this is carnal Jeff. I don't want to give you that much power over me. Are you with me? To not forgive is to give power to that person over me. And I'm not willing to do that. The Holy Spirit can empower us to forgive. The Holy Spirit can empower us to ask the Father to forgive. The Holy Spirit can empower us to ask the Father to bless the person. He can do that. Did I go too quick? He can empower us to forgive. He can empower us to ask Abba to forgive. And he can empower us to ask Abba to bless. Finally, the last act that I do of forgiving from the heart, again, all of this, I know I use scripture references, but it's what the Lord's led me to do. Finally, my last act in the journaling, forgiving from the heart, is to take all of this. I will have pages written because I will write out the offense. Here's what the arrow was like. Here's how unfair. I'll FDIC the arrow. Then I'll turn all of that FDICing the arrow into a prayer of forgiveness. Then I'll turn all of it into a prayer asking Abba Father to forgive. Then I turn it into a prayer of blessing. Father, bless that person. Because they really didn't know what they were doing because they're a chucklehead. Now I'm just letting you into my personality, kind of scary. And then I take it all to a shredder. And I say, Holy Spirit, shred this from my heart. I want it to be totally gone, never to be brought up again. And here's my biblical reference. Do you remember Naaman who had leprosy? Do you remember in the Old Testament, the guy that had leprosy? So Naaman is an enemy of Israel. He's a general, an enemy of Israel. He has a slave little girl from Israel, and he has leprosy. And this slave little girl says, well, why don't you go to the prophet in Israel and be healed? So Naaman tells his king, he sends a letter to the king of Israel. He's scared to death that this is going to be a provocation of war. And then he finally goes to the prophet. And the prophet says, Naaman, go dunk in the Jordan River 7 times. You remember the story now? And Naaman says, our rivers are cleaner than Jordan. And he's probably right. The Jordan isn't real clean most of the time. It's muddy and it's small. You would never believe what the Jordan River really is like. But dunk seven times. I ain't doing that. Manning up. And then someone said, if he asked you to do something huge, wouldn't you do it? He's just saying go dunk seven times. He dunked seven times. On the seventh time, what happens? He's healed. But he doesn't have the skin of a 50-year-old man like I do. It says he has the skin of a boy. When the Holy Spirit heals, when God healed Naaman, he gave him the skin of a young boy. No scar tissue. Now, I've got scar tissue all over this body. I've got it over my eyes. I've got it over my hands from wounds. But spiritual wounds, I take all of that and ask the Holy Spirit, shred it from my heart so that my heart is tender. No scar tissue. No scar tissue. Are you with me? This is what I pray. Shred it from the wound from my heart. No scar tissue. Then here's the test. The next time I meet Nancy, Nancy did not do anything. She's just sitting in the front row here, looking really pretty. If I see Nancy and I feel anything other than agape love, if I feel anything other than agape love, then I go back and do it all over again. Because there's something still there. If I feel anything, there's still something there. I haven't dug the wound enough. I haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to dig out enough of the wound. Here I thought it was a cup size, but maybe it's two cups. Maybe it's a gallon. Maybe it's a 55-galloner. If I feel anything other than love for a sister, then I go back and do it again. If you feel anything other than agape love, ask the Holy Spirit to dig even deeper. There's even more crud in there. If after the second journaling, I still feel something, and again, you know what I'm talking about. The phone rings, you pick it up, and it's that person, and what happens in your gut? Ugh. Or in your chest? Or you just get an email, or you get a letter in the mail from this person, and it's not Hallmark. Are you with me? Hey, man, I've been at points in my life where if it wasn't a Hallmark, I didn't want to open it up because I knew what it was. I knew that thing was filled full of poisonous arrows. I didn't want to even open it up. If after the second time I met Nancy and I didn't have anything but genuine love, then I go to a mentor. Please help me. I've done this so far. This is what's been going on. When I meet the person, I still feel something. Please help me dig deeper to discover what it is so that I can be healed of this. Many times, let me tell myself one other time. I was at a board meeting one time, and the whole board kind of attacked me. Maybe I earned it, I don't know. But they started talking about CNMA was heresy and on and on. I let it go on for about 45, 50 minutes. And finally I said, okay, I've heard enough. Here's how we're going to solve this problem, determining heresy. I've never done this in my life, and I'm confessing my sin to you guys. So here's this room of elders and deaconesses, and it's me alone, and they've all been attacking me and the Alliance and telling me that full of error and heresy and don't know anything, and they just want to leave the Alliance because the Alliance is dirt. I said, here's how we're going to determine what heresy is. The person with a doctorate in theology and 25 years of pastoral ministry, whoever has that background, raise your hand, because you're going to determine what's heretical or not. Oh, wow, I see only one hand. Now we know who's going to determine what's right and wrong. I didn't tell that in the interview either, did I? Now, I said, okay, Now, I'm going to shake everyone, I'm looking every one of your eyes, and I'm going to shake your hand. And then I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to leave. And I did that. I was so angry. I ran a stop sign, and I got on route. I slid through a stop sign after I finally saw it. I got on Route 80 going the wrong way toward Ohio and almost got to Ohio before I turned around. I was that ticked off. Now, first I was angry at them. Then who was I angry with? Me. For letting them get under my skin. Now, it took 3 visits to Doc Holland to get to the root of that rascal in me. I journaled it, and every time I thought of that church, I just got tightness. 3 3-hour visits, 9 hours of counseling. 9 hours of counseling, 5 and 4. 9 hours of counseling with Doc Holland before we could get down deep enough to what was going on inside me. So that the next time I met with them, literally, I was dead to self. It was like I had nothing but positive thoughts. And no matter what they did, it was like the first time they did it. And they said all kinds of stuff. I took a staff person with me. So, Mr. Diaz, what's next? So, Mr. Diaz, what about this? So, Mr. That's what they said. So, Mr. Diaz, I said, I'm glad you asked. Because sometimes I get off track. So, Mr. Diaz, when are we meeting again? I really appreciate that because I usually forget to make the next appointment. Everyone get your calendars out. My staff person, how did you put up with all that garbage? Well, I dealt with it the last time. And I forgave. And forgave from the heart. So it had no power over me. I can just tell you from experience, so many of us, even some of us, think we've forgiven. But if we're not hearing his voice regularly, it could be that we haven't dug down deep enough yet. Because if we don't dig down deep enough, then a root of bitterness. And Hebrews 12 tells us, make every effort to live at peace with all men, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows to cause trouble and defile many. Do not raise your hands. We all know bitter people, don't we? People who are bitter cannot display Jesus Christ. People who are bitter do not hear his voice. Or if they hear his voice, it gets so tangled up in the bitterness that they misunderstand what the Lord says. But once you're dead to self, once you're dead to self concerning the wrong, then if the Holy Spirit leads you, you can go to the person and say, by the way, just FYI, that kind of hurt when you did that. And the only reason I would do that is in love for that person. Because if they did it to me, chances are they're going to do it to you and to you and to you and to you. Nancy didn't do anything. She just happens to be sitting here. Are you with me? Love. If you see your brother caught in sin, what do? You gently go to them and restore them, Galatians tells us. Now I have some just food for thought, okay? And this is something that I put together. I could be totally wrong. I don't think so, but I could be totally wrong. And I'm going to walk through it here. All the way on this side, the path to emotional healing. The past, forgiving has to do with the past. You do something against me, it's in the past. So forgiveness has to do with what happens in the past. So past tense, I break forgiveness and healing in 3 in each of the time segments, past, present, and future. The past has to do with forgiveness. The present has to do with making restitution, making things right. The future is about letting go and building trust. Let me use an example to walk through it. So, If someone has wounded me deeply, I deal with it, I journal it, it's in the past. I leave it in the past. I forgive them. Now, let's say this person stole money from the church. They embezzled money. It's forgiven, it's in the past. Am I going to let that person be the treasurer? No. Now, I may ask the person if they would like to make restitution. Usually we do. Would you like to make restitution and work out a payment plan? And then the future interactions with that person has to do about trust, building trust. They need to build trust in order to serve in certain capacities. Let me go from a different perspective of someone who has been or is the wounded, or I have wounded you. If I've wounded you, I need to come to you and apologize and try and apologize for what I did in the past. Then if I'm the offender, I need to do everything in my power to reconcile and make it right. What will it take? Well, this one's more than flowers. This one is, what do I need to do to make this rascal right? But then, you see, most offenders, here's the mistake that most offenders make, especially in close relationships. Please forgive me. And then they think that forgiveness should cover everything. And they want to pick back up all the way over here where they used to be. Is that possible? Because when I sin against you, I've just burned the trust that we had. And forgiveness means I'm at zero. So if you completely forgive me, I used to have a huge bank account of trust. Now it's zero, and I've asked forgiveness. You forgive me, so my account is zero. Then I, the offender, how can I make this right? What can I do? How can I begin building in this emotional bank account? And it must be done from the other person's perspective, because sometimes flowers just don't cut it. Are you with me? From the other person's perspective, how can I begin to rebuild trust? And then if I want to move forward, it is about rebuilding trust. I, the offender, must begin rebuilding trust from the other person's perspective to restore the relationship to where it was. You see, most of the time when we think most people that are offenders, and we've all offended someone, we think that if I ask forgiveness, it's done and gone. It's under the blood, so I should be right back over where I was. And it almost never works because my bank account of trust is too low. If I'm not making sense, it's me, not you. Here's another tool that I use. It's pretty big there. Basically, this is a guy named Jay Desko, who's one of my profs in an advanced program degree I had. Life's events happen to us. They just happen to us. And that circle that's around there are people's perspective. Do I have any control over someone's perception of my behavior? Do I have any control over your perception of what I'm doing? None. But Jay Desko says, if from your perspective, I demonstrate character in integrity. From your perspective, if I demonstrate competence, I know what I'm doing. If from your perspective, I demonstrate concern for you. If from your perspective, I communicate well with you, then chances are in that interaction, I'm going to build trust. Believe it or not, you guys will leave here today either trusting me more or less, depending on those four rascals. Does Pastor Jeff have character, or is he just up there talking away? Is he just... Does Pastor Jeff know what he's talking about? Man, that thing didn't hang together at all. He's clueless. Did Pastor Jeff really care? Man, he was talking to me and he was looking at someone else all the time he was talking to me. Like I did to Chris this morning. When I saw his daughter getting her guitar out again. Do I communicate clearly? You will either trust me more or less. And all relationships are founded on trust. And as an offender, if I have burned trust, I ask forgiveness. And we need to remember, now I'm at zero. I'm at zero. I'm not even at zero until the other person forgives me. But I can forgive them. If someone sinned against me, I can forgive them and they never have to come to me. Have I confused y'all? Please know this is real. If it's huge. Forgiveness is huge. If you're having difficulty, please come and talk to me or Trevor or one of the elders. Forgiveness will hinder your prayers. Forgiveness is like letting a cloud build up. The sun is shining. Jesus loves you. The sun is shining. The sun is shining outside. Can we see it right now? It's shining, though. The clouds are like unforgiveness. They'll block out God's love. They'll block out His voice, or at least distort it so we don't recognize it. We must forgive from the heart. Jesus is the one that told us. And you might be sitting there thinking, well, I don't know that I've forgiven everyone. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there anyone I need to forgive? Is there anyone I need to bless? Is there anyone I need to ask you? Even as I was preparing this message, the Lord brought back events in my past that brought to my remembrance. If you have questions, come tonight at 6 o'clock. You can ask any question you want. Trevor will be there to answer. Our Sunday evening prayer meeting, we pray and we take questions from the morning message. So if you ever have questions, come and ask or call. We can talk. The next few slides, we're going to pray. The table talk is on there. And table talk for those visitors, after you leave here and go to lunch wherever, whether you're home at a restaurant, I'd encourage you to take your notes out. And the questions are there just to get dialogue going about this forgiveness stuff. And next week, you know I'm going to ask, if you did your table talk, you get to look at each other in. And if you didn't do table talk, then you look at each other with, I don't even know how to, a frowny face. I'm not even good at doing that, I don't think. So, please, please, ask the Holy Spirit. He'll tell you. He'll show you. He'll reveal anything in your life. He's the one. And now let's pray. And this is communion morning, so we're going to worship and celebrate communion this morning as well. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, forgiveness, such a big topic. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your empowering us to forgive. Holy Spirit, please bring to our remembrance even now on both sides. Maybe we need to go and apologize. Maybe we need to forgive. Maybe we need to ask you to forgive others. Or maybe we need to ask you to give us the ability to pray prayers of blessing on those who have harmed us. Holy Spirit, you know. And I just ask that you would meet each one of us, even right now. Just meet each one of us. In this moment of silent prayer, speak however you choose, Holy Spirit.